May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. If we did not already have Jesus' commands to love God and to love one another in the Gospels, St. Paul's words here might provide a universal moral compass for living well, ourselves and together with others. But how far is it possible to live by universal principle to the letter, no matter how good it is, when we live in a time and world so often characterized by its divisions? I will initially consider this question with reference to one of my favorite hobbies, running. Take the principle, run fast and well, perhaps as good as any a contender for a universally fitting approach to the sport. Chances are, if I run fast and well, I will do well in my training, become a fitter athlete, and I might notch up some good results in my cross-country, road and athletics races. But the principle, run fast and well, cannot be realistically applied to every form of running. I know I'd certainly be in more than a bit of trouble if I had tried to run a marathon at the same pace as I run a 10-kilometre race. Moreover, running does not always equate with running fast. For instance, whenever I've had an injury, one of the most important things in resuming my training is to come back gently, rather than to run too fast and then just undo any progress made in healing and recovery. So the principle, run fast and well, has been found to be helpful and valuable in many cases, but it cannot be applied universally to the letter in the same way in absolutely every instance of running. The principles ought to be used and interpreted appropriately for each instance of running. A slightly different approach is sometimes needed, depending on the context, scenario, and its variables. The same, I believe, is often true for some passages of Scripture, and including the principle we see in the letter to the Ephesians. Our Gospel reading today, at one brief point, well states the situation we as a country, we often find ourselves in. Our country is all too often a kingdom divided against itself. We live in a country that is diverse, and that is a diversity to be celebrated. But as well as being diverse, it is also one which is divided, most particularly in terms of its politics and wealth. These inequalities have been recently catapulted into the spotlight in the wake of the EU referendum and the COVID-19 pandemic, but they have existed long before these events took place, the pandemic especially providing a spotlight for these existing inequalities. In the church, we often pray for our parliament. Whenever I lead the prayers of intercession at a church service, I often pray for politicians and the debates between people of different political persuasions, that their debates may be constructive, and that they may be mindful of the common good. I think that so often we see parliamentarians and other politicians motivated by this principle, but more often than not, dividing on how best to achieve it. Perhaps an inevitable conundrum at times, which may or may not be helpful in a given situation. When Jesus Christ gives us the Beatitudes, he says peacemakers will be called children of God. Reconciling different views and promoting peace are both important aspects of our callings as Christians, and we, the Church, can be a great force for preaching and promoting reconciliation and peace. But how is this possible, one may ask, when our Church itself is divided? Our Church is diverse, This is a wonderful thing to be celebrated. But our church is also, unfortunately, divided. The divisions in the church are particularly evident when it comes to differences concerning understandings in social ethics. To take a recent example, you may have heard about the very offensive comments recently made by the Archbishop of Nigeria, which the Archbishops of Canterbury and York, among others, have condemned. There is also division concerning many aspects of liturgy in the church, and when this combines with social divisions, as has happened from the earliest days in the Corinthian church through to today in some settings, it is often a recipe for disaster. We can find an answer to this in St. Paul's letters. We are all siblings in Christ, and we are called to work for a unity in diversity, and diversity in unity. In his first letter to the Corinthians, Paul celebrates the unity in diversity that is the church, brilliantly illustrating this with his analogy of the church as a human body, which needs all its different parts in order to best function. The same Holy Spirit calling and moving different people in a range of ways. Furthermore, in his letter to the Galatians, Paul states that all are one in Jesus Christ, regardless of tradition or other characteristics. This is a core unity which is true for all Christians. While there is much to work on at times, we already have the most important aspect of unity we need as children of God. How does the Holy Spirit move us today? We also see today an answer to our question even closer to home in the Epistle to the Ephesians. Note what St. Paul says carefully. We are called to be imitators or followers of God. We are called to try our best to follow and respond to God's call as best we can, by being open to and following the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In St. Matthew's Gospel, Jesus issues the command to be perfect, as the Father is perfect. Jesus, being fully human and fully divine, will have known what an impossible ask of human beings this command will have been. Not least of all, because he is the one who came to fulfill the law and the prophets, because human beings were unable to do so themselves. We are called thus to imitate and follow God. We are called to do our best, responding to God and his call as he calls us, using our gifts as he gifts us, for the benefit of us and those around us, and to follow the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit inspires and moves us. And as we follow what is perhaps the very most important principle in Christian living, that of loving God and our neighbours, we are invited to discern and pray about how God is calling each and every one of us to further peace, love, harmony and unity in diversity, both within the church and the wider community today. How is God calling us to help address inequalities and poverty in our community and our world today? Be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We gather today in diverse unity and indeed united in our diversity as Christ calls us, to give thanks, as we always do, especially when we receive Christ and his healing in the Eucharist, whether in person or by means of an act of spiritual communion. Let us discern how to live and enact our principles of love, peace, and our whole Christian calling throughout our lives, in all the different ways the Holy Spirit leads us to. And let us work to further our unity and diversity within the church and our whole world, as we are called. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.